Well, there's a situation involving somebody that we as LSU fans know pretty well that could either be a really smart behind the scenes move that's being cooked up, or it could be a really dumb decision. And I'll get into that, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, we are on YouTube as well. So just search Locked On LSU in the search bar and hit that subscribe button and you won't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. My name is Caroline Fenton and I'm your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I've been covering LSU sports since 2016. And I'm now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee. And some very, very exciting news that I'm excited to share with you all on the Locked On LSU program. One of our new partners is FanDuel. And today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. Super excited to have them on board. And we'll continue to share some of my betting picks and some of the betting trends across the sportsbooks for, you know, college basketball, professional basketball. We've got the championship weekend in the NFL this weekend. So we'll continue to get into all of that. But I want to start here, because we all have been following Walker Howard's decision to leave LSU. And it was a decision that I understood. That Walker Howard coming into LSU understood, okay, year one, I'm going to sit the bench. I'm going to, you know, be a scout team quarterback. I'm going to learn. I'm going to hold a clipboard. He understood that. And it was my understanding that he was totally okay with that, as many first-year quarterbacks are. So infrequently do true freshman quarterbacks see the field, especially at a program that's the caliber at LSU. Totally understood. I don't think that the initial thought was that Jaden Daniels was going to be at LSU for more than 1 year. And of course, Jaden Daniels is returning to LSU for his second year, has foregone the NFL draft. Garrett Nussmeier is staying put, at least in this transfer portal window. Walker Howard agreed to 1 year of sitting the bench, but in year two, at least wanted that opportunity to see the field. And that doesn't necessarily mean a starting role. It just means, hey, a backup role where I can actually take reps with some of the first team, with the second team. If, knock on wood, the starting quarterback goes down with an injury, then now I'm the guy. Now that's at least an opportunity and a clear path to becoming a starting quarterback. He wasn't going to get that at LSU. We all know that. We all understand that. That's something that I've talked about in detail on the podcast. But there have been some developments at Ole Miss. Of course, Walker Howard decides to transfer away from LSU, goes to Ole Miss, commits to Ole Miss to play under Lane Kiffin, which I think any quarterback would want to play in a system like Lane Kiffin's. You know, it's very pass-heavy, you know, 300-400 passing yards in a game. It's a fun offense to watch, and I'm sure a fun offense to play in as well. So Walker Howard decides to commit to Ole Miss, and we learned late last week that former Oklahoma State quarterback Spencer Sanders also has committed to Ole Miss. So now you're looking at an Ole Miss quarterback room with Jackson Dart, the starter returning from 2022, the starter who transferred in from USC, who earned the starting job in 2022. You have Walker Howard, who's going into his second year in college and probably expected to be Jackson Dart's backup. At least my interpretation of the situation was that he would come in and be Jackson Dart's backup. And then things get really interesting when Spencer Sanders decides to transfer. Spencer Sanders has 4 years of starting college football experience. Jackson Dart has two. He'll go into his third. Walker Howard has none. So if you're just looking at the quarterback room, you might think, well, that seems kind of counterproductive. for Walker Howard to leave the team and the school that he had dreamed of playing for and going to his entire life, a team with all of his friends, a team that looks poised to compete for a national title, at least in the near future, more so than Ole Miss is, goes to Ole Miss to at least get the opportunity to start, and then now he's entering the same situation where he's going to be behind two more veteran, more experienced quarterbacks? That doesn't make very much sense. And if that is the case, then I think we can look at that decision for Walker Howard to transfer to Ole Miss as a poor decision. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. My interpretation of it, this is my take, this is my opinion, this is based on nothing factual, no insight whatsoever. I think that this is Lane Kiffin's way of pushing Jackson Dart away from Ole Miss. Jackson Dart transferred into Ole Miss, of course. He won the starting job. And I think that we all looked at Jackson Dart, at least I did, you know, transferring in from USC, that he was going to be really promising, that he was a pretty solid quarterback in his year at USC. And if you look at Jackson Dart's stats this year, I mean, he threw for almost 3,000 yards. You would say, okay, well, that's pretty solid. You know, you would say that he rushed for over 600 yards. Well, that's pretty solid. You know, 20 touchdowns passing on the season, one touchdown on the season. But what I don't think his stats necessarily portray is the inconsistency, that he was so hot and cold that it was almost like every single game you didn't really know which Jackson Dart you were going to get, or at what point Jackson Dart was going to just completely spaz out in the middle of a game. Because I think you look at his 20 touchdowns to 11 interception ratio and you start to see the tendencies for turnovers, maybe some erratic decision making. So Jackson Dart, at least what I expected him to be at Ole Miss, did not come to fruition. Ole Miss didn't have, you know, a sexy year this year. Ole Miss struggled in some games. And there were some games that they won that they just barely won or maybe shouldn't have won. So I believe, I look at what Jackson Dart did at Ole Miss this past year, and at least what I expected him to be at Ole Miss, and what I know the expectations for Lane Kiffin and this Ole Miss program are, that he may look at it like, look, Jackson Dart's just not our guy. He, you know, good kid, whatever. He's not going to be our guy moving forward. So we are going to saturate this quarterback room with new quarterbacks that will be able to compete with Jackson Dart. Because remember, the transfer portal window is closed, at least for the fall. It's not going to reopen until the spring. So if Jackson Dart does want to leave Ole Miss, he cannot do it until the spring. So the idea, at least my interpretation of the idea, is Lane Kiffin saturates the quarterback room, brings in two solid quarterbacks, one with a lot of, you know, just natural talent, the other with 4 years of experience in college football, and eventually that will push Jackson Dart out just due to competition and due to the sheer number of quarterbacks in that quarterback room. If that is the case, if Jackson Dart looks at this quarterback room and is like, look, I won the job last year, doesn't look like I'm going to win it this year, I'm out. Well, then Spencer Sanders likely is your starting quarterback for Ole Miss in 2023. Walker Howard is Ole Miss's backup in 2023. Spencer Sanders will play through his final year of eligibility in 2023. Walker Howard is your starter in 2024. I have to believe that's probably the vision that Walker Howard saw for himself at Ole Miss, whether that was sitting a year behind Jackson Dart or sitting a year behind Spencer Sanders now. The plan, I cannot believe, was to sit behind both Jackson Dart and Spencer Sanders. I cannot believe that would be the plan, because why would he leave LSU to just go do that? He'd go somewhere else where he could be the backup. So I hear a lot of people saying, Walker Howard, dumb decision. Why would he do that? This is a crowded quarterback room. Maybe that's true. Maybe Jackson Dart wants to say, maybe Jackson Dart wins the starting job. He's the best one in spring ball. Spencer Sanders is the backup, and Walker Howard is holding a clipboard yet again for the second year in a row. What he wanted to avoid at LSU. Or maybe there's some stuff cooking behind the scenes. We know Lane Kiffin has a tendency to do that, to be a little bit shady. So before we jump to conclusions about Walker Howard and his situation at Ole Miss, that's my interpretation of the situation. If I'm wrong, then Walker Howard, dude, should have just stayed at LSU and had a better opportunity at going to Atlanta, winning an SEC title, and eventually a national title. But coming up next, some basketball news on for both teams. I want to get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I got to welcome in our brand new partner, FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We had such a fun divisional round weekend of football, and we are so excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So if you are a new customer to FanDuel, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. So that's a whole lot of insurance there. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn, LockedOn. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets from moneyline to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. I'm looking at the championship games this weekend. AFC championship, you got the Bengals and Chiefs. NFC championship, you got the 49ers. Brock Purdy taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. I am taking the Cincinnati Bengals minus the 1.5. I think Joe Burrow just continues to prove that he is that dude, and that is not an LSU homer take. And I think with an injured Patrick Mahomes, the Bengals are going to be able to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl for the second year in a row. All on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, do not miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. I have two basketball thoughts, men's team and women's team. I'll start with the women's team here because Angel Reese and this women's basketball team just continues to roll. And I'll be honest with y'all. On the podcast, I like to stick to football. I like to stick to what you guys want to talk about, whatever's the biggest story in LSU sports. But this women's basketball team cannot be ignored because not only are they, you know, at the top of the women's basketball rankings, this team's also making history. Angel Reese is making history. On Monday night against Alabama, Angel Reese recorded her 20th straight double-double. That is every single game so far this season that Angel Reese has recorded a double-double. On Monday against Alabama and LSU's 89-51 dominant win, she had 14 points and 14 rebounds. Now, interesting thing about that is that's the fewest number of points that she's scored all season long. She's averaging almost 24 points a game. She's averaging about 15.5 rebounds a game. Those numbers are astronomical. Those numbers are amazing. And she set LSU history. She set a new LSU record because she is in great, great, great company, breaking the great, wonderful, legendary Sylvia Fowles' former consecutive game double-double record at LSU. That was a record that Sylvia Fowles set in the 2006-2007 season. I do believe that that was her junior season. And I say, you know, Angel Reese is averaging about 24-ish points a game, 15.5 rebounds. Look at Sylvia Fowles. And that year that she set the last consecutive games with double-doubles record, she was averaging in that season 16.9, about 17 points a game and 12.6 rebounds. Now, that was the entire 2006-2007 season as a whole. And obviously, this season isn't close to being over. But you look at that discrepancy and you look at just the crazy margin of difference between Angel Reese and Sylvia Fowles, I think that that speaks volumes about what Angel Reese has done. And to beat a record or to set a new record that was previously set by Sylvia Fowles, I mean, Sylvia Fowles, to put that into perspective, she's not just an LSU basketball legend. She is she's not just a women's, you know, NCAA college basketball legend. She is a women's basketball legend. If you know women's college basketball, if you know women's basketball in general, you know Sylvia Fowles. You know what she's done at the WNBA level, and you know what she did at the college level. She is a legend. And when I was in school at LSU, I had the opportunity to interview her for a project, and it was one of the coolest experiences. Just her love for LSU, her passion for the game. And now she's congratulating Angel Reese on setting a new record at LSU. This was Sylvia Fowles sending out a message on Twitter to Angel Reese.
Angel, You did that. Crown off to you. Congratulations on all your success. Continue to be loud, bold, proud, true to yourself. Congratulations, Miss Double Double Queen.
To passing the crown down to Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey also talked about Angel Reese, her role as a leader, and her role now in the history books as far as LSU women's basketball is concerned.
What she did, she came up to me twice. The first time was she was trying to show me how they were bodying her up and guarding her. And I said, yeah, I'm over here griping about it. All I can do is gripe. Just somebody to, you know, she just, coach, help me here. They just bodying me up, pushing me. And then I'm glad she's happy. We have a team that, honestly, they're all happy. They get frustrated at themselves and think they can do better. But when you're 20-0, you break a record, one of the greatest all-time players ever, not just at LSU and Sylvia Fowles, but in the country, in the history of women's basketball, and you break that record, she's in wonderful company.
Again, yeah, that was Kim Mulkey, and reiterating the fact that what she is doing is historic, and she's writing her legacy along the side of Sylvia Fowles, of Simone Augustus, somebody that we mentioned earlier in the podcast who had a statue record of herself on LSU's campus. But looking at this team as a whole, this team's undefeated. They're 20-0, the number 4 team in the country, undefeated in SEC play, obviously, sitting behind South Carolina, Ohio State, and Stanford in the rankings, taking on the Lady Vols, taking on Tennessee in their next game. Tennessee has been great. They've won their last 5 conference games, and Tennessee is, you know, a very storied women's basketball program. So that's going to be a tough test for LSU women's basketball as they continue to try to climb themselves into the ranks and kind of break back into that top 3 in women's college basketball in the country. But really exciting of what we've seen so far. I mean, Angel Reese has a billboard of herself in Baton Rouge. When was the last time that you saw an LSU women's basketball player be so, you know, publicized and celebrated around the local community? I don't remember the last time. It's really exciting when this team is good. It's really exciting when we as LSU fans have so many teams to root for, including women's basketball. So looking ahead to that, again, as LSU women's basketball, 20-0, one of the top teams in the country, and they continue to roll into SEC play as they take on the Lady Vols later this week. But I have some thoughts that are a little bit less positive about another basketball team that wears the purple and gold. I'll get into that coming up next. LSU men's basketball taking on Arkansas Tuesday night, tip-off at 6 o'clock Central. I think we need to have a little bit of a come-to-Jesus moment about LSU men's basketball here. They're on a 6-game losing streak. They are 1-6 in SEC play. They got routed by Tennessee on Saturday. And the final score, 77-56. Like, yeah, that's bad. You know, you lose by 21 points. But I felt like watching that game, it was so much worse than 77-56. I felt like watching that game, Tennessee dominated in every single element of the game. Tennessee's defense was just dominating LSU's offense. LSU's offense looked slow, lethargic, and this Tennessee team is really not a very skilled team offensively. They're very good defensively, not incredibly skilled offensively, but it seemed like that Tennessee team was just able to do whatever they wanted. So I don't want to get in depth of that Tennessee game because it's more so a macro 360-foot view of this team, of where it's standing. And taking on Arkansas tonight. Now, Arkansas, whenever LSU beat Arkansas at the beginning of SEC play, at the end of the month of December, I thought, oh my goodness, look at what Matt McMahon is doing for this team. Arkansas at that time was a top 10 team in the country. We all remember Arkansas's run that they made last year in the NCAA tournament. We all remember how much Arkansas dominated in the SEC last year. So with just opening conference play, that win over Arkansas seemed to set the tone of what we could expect moving forward. But since then, I mean, Arkansas really has struggled as well. I mentioned LSU 1-6 in SEC play. Arkansas is 2-5 in SEC play and just won their last SEC game against Ole Miss over the weekend. So this is a really key game. because I just need a little bit of hope for this team. And no, and I said this earlier, that this season isn't going to put Matt McMahon's job into question. I think that would be a little bit too much of a jumping the gun reaction, considering that April of this of 2022, less than a year ago, LSU didn't have a single player on its roster. LSU lost every single scholarship player on the roster. There was a lot of rebuilding that this team had to do. We understood that. I understood that. I didn't really have many expectations for this team this year, because I thought, okay, you know, Matt McMahon's first year, you're rebuilding the program. You've got to use all the pieces that you can of transfers to bring into this program. I felt really confident, or maybe optimistic rather is the right word, because Matt McMahon was able to bring so many of his players from Murray State. Murray State had a great year last year. I thought, okay, I could be optimistic about this team. They beat a then top 10 Arkansas team. I thought, okay, all right, we're going in the right direction, and they've only gone in the wrong direction from there. So even though this season, I don't think, in my opinion, has or should have any bearing on Matt McMahon's job status at LSU, while this season I don't think should be the defining season for Matt McMahon's legacy and his year or his tenure as head coach at LSU, while I do know that there is a whole lot of work that this team has to do and a lot more improvement that this team can make this year and as Matt McMahon continues on in his tenure as head coach at LSU, I need a little bit of hope, because it's a 1-6 record in the SEC and a 6-game losing streak that didn't even seem that close. I mean, they got blown out by like 50 points against Alabama. I mean, that's not close. You're blown out by 20 plus against Tennessee, and albeit that's a really good Tennessee team. I need to see a little bit of hope for the foundation that is being built in this program. A little bit of hope that even this year, when LSU misses the tournament, I can say, okay, they make the tournament this year, but they played really hard and they played good teams really close and they got really close to the finish line. So in year two, now that McMahon has a year underneath him and he's gotten some of his guys in here and he's been recruiting, that, okay, that steps forward. I don't feel that way right now, though. And I feel like we should be feeling that way, at least a glimmer of hope. I don't have a lot of hope right now for this team, for how attractive this team may be to recruits in the future, and how much this team can build upon for next year. So tonight against Arkansas, against another team that's really been struggling, I need to see some hope. I need to see that this team is starting to move, to make some moves, you know, to starting to make some progress. I know we all want to see that. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. Speaking of college basketball, for your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.